Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So it's day two of Donald Trump's state visit to Britain. He's heading to Chequers today to meet the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer. And this follows last night's lavish dinner with the royal family at Windsor Castle, where the US president hailed the trip as one of the highest honours of his life. Well, our reporter Barry Lenehan is at Windsor Castle this morning and he joins me now. Good morning to you, Barry. I'm looking at a live shot here of one of the doors, I assume, of Windsor Castle, that there are many, but they're waiting for Donald and Melania to leave. He's still inside there, not left yet.
That's right. Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Trump, they will formally bid farewell to the Britain's King Charles and Queen Camilla shortly before Mr. Trump heads to Chequers, as you say, to Keir Starmer's country residence in Buckinghamshire. And Mrs. Trump, well, she'll get to enjoy some time away from her husband here in Windsor for a few hours as well. And really the sense around Windsor, it's the morning after the night before, after that lavish banquet that you mentioned there, attended by 160 special guests, including the golfer Nick Faldo, the media mogul Rupert Murdoch, who was there despite being sued by Donald Trump over a report linking the president to Jeffrey Epstein, and many major chiefs of American firms, including big names from the tech world such as Sam Altman of OpenAI and Tim Cook of Apple. And the guests, well, they were put on quite the treat, let me tell you. The starter was Hampshire watercress panna cotta with parmesan shortbread and quail egg salad. For the main course, the guests dined on Norfolk chicken, while for the dessert there was a vanilla ice cream bomb with Kentish raspberry sorbet interior and a lightly poached Victoria plums too. The guests then had many drinks afterwards as well, specially selected drinks by the British royal family, including a vintage port from 1945, said to be an honour to President Trump, who originally was the 45th President of America, a Hennessy 1912 cognac grand champagne, a nod to the birth year of Trump's mother, whom of course hailed from Scotland. And there were many nods to Scotland throughout this lavish banquet last night, with Scottish music and so on, even a medley to James Bond. And then at the end, a new cocktail, a transatlantic whiskey sour to top it all off, Claire.
But he doesn't touch a drop, as we said. So all wasted on Donald Trump. I hope the rest of them enjoyed the few drinks, Barry.
Yes, well, it might have gone on for a few hours into the evening. Mr. Trump, of course, not touching a drop, as you say, but 160 people there and many important conversations happening as well,
I'm sure. So King Charles had effusive words to say about the US president. Donald said it was the best night he'd ever had. Well, the best trip he'd ever had, the honour of his lifetime.
Yes, the highest honour of his lifetime. He paid tribute to America's relationship with Britain, saying the word special does not begin to do it justice, and claimed the two nations were two notes in one chord. He said it was a singular privilege to be the first American president to be granted a second state banquet. And he said he also hoped, he joked, that he would be the last one as well. Now, for Britain's King Charles, he also spoke, and President Trump, it was noted by those there that he was in deep discussions with Kate Middleton, the Princess of Wales, throughout, who he hailed as radiant and so healthy and so beautiful, referring to her cancer treatment last year. As for Britain's King Charles, he said that Britain and America had fought together to defeat the forces of tyranny, including in the Second World War, and added how today, as tyranny once again threatens Europe, we and our allies stand together in support of Ukraine to deter aggression and secure peace. And the key question this morning for many: will those words from Britain's King Charles ring true when the president meets Britain's Prime Minister Keir Starmer this afternoon?
Yeah, and so as we speak, as we said, we're waiting for him to emerge from Windsor Castle and to head to Chequers for that meeting. And really, there's a lot of tension around this, because there'll be reporters in the room. Questions around Epstein, Peter Mandelson's sacking are expected. Is there a lot of nervousness around what might happen?
massive nervousness, especially around those two words, Jeffrey Epstein. And this is the first time that Keir Starmer will face questions from the media this week since his interview on Monday with Donald Trump beside them. There's nervousness on the British side that Mr. Trump may express an opinion on whom Peter Mandelson's successor as British ambassador to America might be. He's seen to favour a return to the previous incumbent, Karen Pierce, who left the role due to her closeness to the former chief of staff, Sue Gray, who lost a power struggle with Keir Starmer's closest advisor, Cork's Morgan McSweeney, who of course is in the crosshairs over the Mandelson affair. And Donald Trump said not to like questions, not to like mention of Jeffrey Epstein. So many questions likely to come around that. Other potential flashpoints through the day and through this press conference as well, which is set to begin at Chequers at around 2:30 on the Middle East, for instance. Keir Starmer, we are told today, is set to officially recognise Palestine as a separate state this weekend when Mr. Trump leaves. So how will that play out? What questions might happen there? What disagreements might there be? And also on Ukraine, the British government has been effusive in its support of Ukraine. Mr. Trump and America more lukewarm. Might there be disagreement there as well? So several potential flashpoints, and also add in the issue of free speech. J.D. Vance, critical of Britain on Charlie Kirk's podcast last week following his assassination, critical of Britain on the issue of free speech, and of course events overnight as well in relation to the Kimmel show, Trump celebrating the fact that he was taken off the air. So many questions, flashpoints, tensions, everything has been so carefully staged here so far, but the potential for something to go wrong, the risks are very high. And when all that is going on, Claire, Melania Trump, she'll be out for the day with Kate Middleton. They'll be meeting with the chief scout and members of the Scott Squirrels program here at Frogmore, near where Harry and Meghan used to reside. So that picture likely to be front of many newspapers in America tomorrow, one would suggest.
Now, you were in an Irish pub in London last night. People who know you might be surprised to hear that, Barry, but it's gone under something it's undergone something of a makeover for President Trump's visit, and you were chatting to some of the people there.
That's right, and remember many opinion polls
for the duration of President Trump's visit to London and to the UK. In respect of President Trump, he's a tremendous man. He has sacrificed his life and his family's life to help his country and to help the world.
You renamed a pub in 2018 as well when he was last
here.
And President Trump saw the fact that you had renamed it,
didn't he? Exactly, yeah. He said, I love these people, these are my people, this is fantastic. And it's important, the amount of reaction that we got from the people in the United States of America, the amount of visitors we've had here from the United States was just incredible. And the amount of online, okay, there was a bit of abuse, but there was a huge amount of support. We'd say there's a lot of protests downtown. There's fellas down there battering pots and pans and all the rest off the street in the middle of town. Not making much sense, really. But what we do here, we just have a gathering here of genuine, decent people who just love what President Trump is doing and what he represents in our world.
There were thousands in London earlier, in fairness, around Parliament Square throughout the afternoon.
Hey, that's true, but is it making any difference? Is it worthwhile? Are they doing good for society? I don't think they are.
We're in the Trump Arms. What's the significance of the room we are in at the moment?
Well, the room that we're in at the moment, we have dedicated to Charlie Kirk, the beautiful young man of 31 years of age who was murdered and assassinated. He was so fantastic, and he was an inspiration to all young people. Dedicate this room to Charlie Kirk for debate, for people who can come along here of all sides and sit down and just chat and debate, and we'll have a drink, we'll have a chat. It's kind of a stately room, which is becoming of Charlie Kirk.
Appreciate Charlie Kirk was assassinated and nobody could condone that, but many people would have found some of his views abhorrent about women, about black people, about the great replacement theory.
I don't think so. No. He was just, he was full of common sense. He was a beautiful family man.
I want to get in on that question.
Patrick Sullivan, you're regularly here.
There's been a lot of mischaracterisation of Charlie's views. And we've had a lot of left-wing commentators, people like Alistair Campbell and others, who have had to apologise for saying this complete lie that Charlie Kirk said gay people should be stoned to death. He never said that, and they've all apologised.
What about his views on black people? world. Did he not say that they commit more crimes now than they did in the 1940s?
Charlie Kirk has had a number of black conservatives and is very popular with black conservatives and has actually done a lot to promote black conservatives. So I think it's completely wrong to mischaracterise Charlie's views on race.
What's the importance of this room then for you?
People have been moved to come here because they support what Charlie stood for. They support the idea of open debate and peaceful speech, a peaceful disagreement.
What's your view on this state visit this week?
I think he deserves a state visit. You've seen people that oppose it. Whether you agree with left or right, he's going to bring in trade deals, a lot of big tech influences onto the table. It can only be good. We need to make our country flourish.
I came from Leeds today. I travelled from Leeds. I went, obviously, to go to Windsor, but I was hoping to get a glimpse of Trump's helicopter, but that didn't materialise. I think that Trump has done a lot for this country in terms of highlighting the issues of free speech and two-tier justice system, which is happening currently in this country right now.
We're having a discussion here, a political discussion. We're not all going to agree on every single point. We're having a discussion, a free discussion, with free speech, peacefully, where everybody is able to have their say. And what is wrong with that?
Now, we were listening there, Claire, to people in Biddy Mulligan's Olympia pub in West London last night, owned by Leitrim man Damien Smith from Ballinamore, who has changed it, as you heard there, to the Trump Arms for the duration of this visit and turned the pub's lounge into the Charlie Kirk debate room, which they say is an area which will predominantly have a round table and picture of Charlie Kirk forevermore. But many opinion polls right up to this week show most Britons opposed to this visit, but it still has prompted much debate, as you heard there.
All right, and we've just witnessed Donald Trump leaving Windsor Castle. Prince Charles, or King Charles rather, came out to the door with him. They had many warm handshakes, and then Donald Trump left for Chequers in his car. But I understand he is travelling by helicopter, isn't he, eventually, to get to Chequers. That's been the mode of transport to keep him off the streets and away from those protests, Barry.
That's it, yes. No open carriage parade through the street like Emmanuel Macron. And even yesterday, the relatively small number of protesters in London compared to 2019 and the previous state visit, largely because Mr. Trump not at the House of Commons either to make any sort of address. It is a recess for party season. But Mr. Trump making his way to Chequers now, where he'll be greeted by Keir Starmer and Keir Starmer's wife. He'll look at an exhibition relating to Winston Churchill, whom Trump is a big fan of. And it's also, I'm told, Downing Street saying this morning that Keir Starmer will present Mr. Trump with a bespoke red box, which ministers here use for meetings as well. He'll have so many presents, Mr. Trump and Mrs. Trump, that they might have to bring an extra suitcase on the way home on Air Force One.
Barry, thank you so much. Barry Lenehan there joining us from outside Windsor Castle, and we'll keep in touch with Barry over the programme to get an update. Now I'm joined by playwright and author Bonnie Greer. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning.
I'm sure you've been keeping a close eye on the pomp and pageantry that we've seen over the course of yesterday. We'll see more of it today. What do you make of it all?
Well, it's the job of the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom or the head of any government to make sure that the country is in a good relationship as much as it can be with the United States. And he's doing his job and the King's doing his job. They're all doing their jobs.
Do you feel uncomfortable with how Britain has welcomed Donald Trump and Melania in any way?
No, I think it's hilarious. And, I'm in the theatre, so it's a great show. I've never seen so much gold in my life. And the King's walking around with so many medals, I didn't think he could even stand up. So it's a British hoot, and Trump doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it.
No, he doesn't get what's going on.
Well, probably,
it's hilarious.
He doesn't get a lot of it because he's been protected from it. I mean, he's travelling from London to Windsor in a helicopter. He'll go to Chequers in the same helicopter. He's been very limited in terms of what he is seeing.
Well, I'm a Londoner, and they knew he shouldn't be in London. That wasn't going to be a good look for him. So they've flown him over London. That's basically what's going on.
And Donald Trump is particularly delighted. I have seen a couple of stills photographs of him with members of the royal family, and I have never seen him smile so broadly.
Well, there's a lot of royalty surrounding him because he thinks he is. And like I said, there's a lot of gold. If you put a lot of gold around Trump, he'll give you a smile.
Do you understand, though, people who are upset at the welcome he has been shown?
Exactly. I mean, I'm upset about it too. But the fact of the matter is, the Congress of the United States has given him the tariff power. The tariff power belongs to Congress, not to the executive. And they've given it to him. He's issued executive orders. He's throwing all kinds of numbers all up in the air. Nobody knows where he's getting them from. So Britain simply doesn't want to be hit by any of that. And who can blame them? Ireland doesn't want to be hit by it. So there you are.
I mean, you say you're upset by it, but from what you're saying, you accept it. Is that right?
No, I don't accept it at all. I mean, this is realpolitik. And this is what has to be done. For me, as I say, I'm looking at the spectacle of it. It's a big piss take that he doesn't get. So that's actually quite pleasurable to look at. And nobody does that better than the English, to be honest with you. So it's sort of like looking at a comedy routine of the visit of the President of the United States to the United Kingdom and what it would be like if he thought he was the center of the universe. And this is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sure. I'm totally upset about it. But I'm amused by the way that the United Kingdom is handling this. It's quite funny.
It mightn't be very comedic. In fact, it might be very uncomfortable for Keir Starmer today if at that press conference he's having with Donald Trump, Jeffrey Epstein, the Peter Mandelson sacking, if all of that comes up, Donald Trump will not be happy, and that won't have the desired effect as far as the government and the royal family are concerned, because, as you say, this was all about appeasing him and making him happy.
Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Kimmel comes up, too. You sure it's going to come up, because the British press is going to bring it up. There have been all sorts of projections. One was on Windsor, pictures of Trump and Epstein, which was great. There's been trucks all over. I live in central London, so there have been protests. So, of course, it's going to come up. And Starmer, who is a lawyer, is going to have to figure out how to negotiate that, because Trump will not be pleased. He won't be happy. And he won't be happy facing the British press at all. So that's going to be interesting today.
You mentioned Jimmy Kimmel, who was taken off air overnight after that monologue discussing Donald Trump's response to the shooting of Charlie Kirk. What's your view on that? I'm sure you're shocked.
Well, a few things shock me now, but this is shocking. The ultra dangerous part of this, of course, is that a network, by even just one protest or one sort of pushback from an affiliate network, pulled a person off air, violating that person's not only civil rights, but First Amendment rights. Also, the head of the FCC, who approves networks, made a threat and basically said something about the easy way or the hard way. None of this has ever happened in the United States of America before. So this is 100 times worse than what's going on over here. This is truly dangerous. Mm-hmm. And the United States, the Congress of the United States and the Supreme Court have allowed Donald Trump and his government to have these powers, and we're in very dangerous territory.
Yeah, I mean, it is extraordinary. The FCC, as you say, the Federal Communications Commission, the head of which is a political appointee, making a comment about the Jimmy Kimmel monologue, and he's then gone within hours.
He's gone because these legacy networks are in trying to merge, because they're losing viewers to streaming and all sorts of things. So they're trying to merge, and they can't do that without the permission of the FCC. So they have caved into it, and it is extremely dangerous.
I mean, so many people have said, you know, there is an irony, isn't there, in J.D. Vance coming to Europe in the early days of this administration and talking about free speech and how it should be protected, and then stuff like this happens.
J.D. Vance is an idiot, despite the fact that he went to Yale. And so, you know, he can just be brushed aside, as vice presidents usually are. The FCC is another matter. And this is now we're in dictatorial territory for sure. No doubt about it. And no, you know, don't be confused about it. We're in a very dangerous place right now. Very dangerous.
You know, I was reading an analysis piece early this morning about how the MAGA movement in the United States looks at Britain and feels desperately sorry for Britain because they see a Britain that is full of marauding criminals. It's out of control. Law and order is out of control. Immigration is out of control. And they want, in an evangelical way, to export the MAGA movement to the UK. Do you think that that is happening?
Well, first of all, if you're MAGA, which are the killer of Charlie Kirk, which was Jimmy Kimmel's point, they see that around themselves, so they project it out into the world. That's how they live. No, it's not going to be brought to the United Kingdom because the British don't see the world that way, even though they're being trying to be persuaded to see the world that way. They don't.
Well, and, you had that march at the weekend, 100,000 people.
Well, I was in the march. I mean, I wasn't in it, but I got caught up in it and I watched it. It was a bunch of guys. I didn't see one woman. Now, I suppose there were some women there, but I didn't see any. And I had to do a talk on the South Bank. I didn't even know it was happening. It was a bunch of guys with Union Jack trousers on and sipping beer. It's not a nice thing to look at. I didn't see any women. I saw one type of guy, and they were marching. And so I think what we need to do is look at this, pay attention to it, fight it. But the idea that it's going to take over the United Kingdom, I think, is wrong. Mm-hmm.
Although then you see how well Nigel Farage is doing in his Reform Party, the defections from the Conservatives, even people like Danny Kruger, who's a dyed-in-the-wool Tory, saying that the Tory party is over and the future is reform. Elon Musk dialing into that protest at the weekend. I mean, you could argue that they have some momentum, that movement.
Well, it's easy to have momentum of a political party that says everything is awful. And how many parties have Nigel Farage headed up? Like 3, 4? He's not going to get a majority in the House of Representatives because that's not how the United Kingdom is. Of course, he's a protest party. So people are fed up with a lot of the conditions. They've got nowhere to go. And he's a good place to go. Also, he's a meme like Trump is. And he looks good on TikTok. So they're all flocking to him through TikTok, through Instagram, which is where a lot of people, unfortunately, get their news and their view of the world. And that's dangerous, too.
Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, you say what we're seeing today and yesterday in the UK is a charade. It's Britain playing a game.
It's a panto. And as I say, I've lived here long enough. I'm not saying people aren't sincere about this. But the level of glitz and, you know, it's just, you have to laugh at it. And they're just, piled it on. And Trump doesn't get it. So that's okay. He likes it. He's happy. And he'll go back in his big plane and go back where he came from.
Well, back to the United States, which, of course, is more divided than ever following the shooting of Charlie Kirk. Are you concerned about what might play out in the aftermath of that?
What might play out in the aftermath of that happens at the executive level. That's where it's dangerous. And as I said before, the Congress of the United States has ceded its power to the executive. We've never had anything like this before. We've never had troops deployed on the streets of the United States in order to establish what they call order. We've never had men in masks going around the job centers, breaking up queues and asking for identification. We've never had people deported from the United States and sent to a third country, a country where they don't even come from. This has never happened before. We've never had the rule of law challenged the way it is being challenged now in the United States of America. And that's the dangerous territory that we're in.
Bonnie, it's always good to talk to you. And thank you so much for taking the time. That's Bonnie
Greer. Thank you.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.